VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. It's going to be a News Roundup Friday, as we have a number of stories that we're going to bring to your attention today, and certainly keep us aware of the matters that are taking place across this nation and around the world. And friends, to open our eyes, we must not live in a hole, but understand what is going on, to be understanding of the times, understanding that as Scripture says, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived, and we're seeing that take place in our nation. It should certainly burden our hearts toward matters of prayer, burden our hearts to be an evangelistic witness, to take the gospel to those that we love, to those that we come in contact with, and to see the urgency of the hour. So we're going to comment and present a number of stories today. Lord willing, we'll give you opportunity later in the broadcast to also share your thoughts on these or other current event news. We're going to begin with a story that came from WND.com. Very troubling indeed that law enforcement recently foiled what appears to be an assassination attempt that targeted against President Trump. It was a package containing the poisoned ricin, according to report. Citing two law enforcement officials, CNN reported the package was addressed to the president, intercepted by authorities this week. The test done to confirm the presence of ricin. All mail for the White House sorted and screened at an offsite facility before reaching the White House. And according to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it takes a deliberate act to try and poison someone with ricin. No antidote for this poison. Western Journal also reporting now that a Canadian woman has been arrested in connection with this letter. The woman was deported by U.S. officials last year after being arrested in Texas. She was detained on Sunday while trying to enter the U.S. at the border in New York State. And I find it also interesting that this woman that is accused, according to court papers filed Tuesday, this would be Pascal Ferrier, sent a letter to the White House and told the president to give up and remove your application for this election. By the way, again, ricin, a highly toxic substance produced from the waste of making castor oil. The Corporal Charles Poirier, the spokesman for the Quebec Division of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, said, "We believe a total of six letters were sent, one to the White House and five to Texas." It's where she had been deported from. And that was to the Hidalgo County, Texas Sheriff Eddie Guerra confirmed that he and three of his staff received letters tainted with ricin. Luckily, no one was hurt, he said. The fifth letter is believed to have been sent to the Mission, Texas Police Department. From LifeSiteNews.com, President Donald Trump putting the UN on notice. The United States is committed to recognizing and protecting unborn children, he reminded the United Nations on Tuesday in an address to the General Assembly. He said America will always be a leader in human rights, he declared in the speech from the White House, saying, quote, "My administration is advancing religious liberty, opportunity for women, combating human trafficking, and protecting unborn children." The president further called on the international body to focus on the real problems of the world, such as human and sex trafficking, religious persecution, and the ethnic cleansing of religious minorities. President Trump also said that we must hold accountable the nation that unleashed this plague to the world, referring to the coronavirus. Here's a statement from the president.
As we pursue this bright future, we must hold accountable the nation which unleashed this plague onto the world, China. In the earliest days of the virus, China locked down travel domestically while allowing flights to leave China and infect the world. China condemned my travel ban on their country, even as they canceled domestic flights and locked citizens in their homes. The Chinese government and the World Health Organization, which is virtually controlled by China, falsely declared that there was no evidence of human-to-human transmission. Later, they falsely said people without symptoms would not spread the disease. The United Nations must hold China accountable for their actions.
President Donald Trump to the United Nations. From LifeNews.com, President Donald Trump this week also announced an executive order doing something that Democrats in Congress refused more than 80 times to do, that is to provide medical care for babies who survive abortion. With Nancy Pelosi and the House rejecting the Born Alive bill over 80 times, allowing abortionists to essentially get away with infanticide, President Trump announced an executive order that would require medical care be given to infants who are born alive after failed abortion attempts. He said, quote, "I'm announcing that I will be signing the Born Alive executive order to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. This is a sacrosanct moral duty," the president said. The full text of the executive order is expected to be similar to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Also from FaithWire, he revealed, too, that his administration is increasing federal funding for neonatal research. Folks, a very, very classless act which took place this week. A crowd assembled outside the Supreme Court, loudly booing President Trump and the First Lady, Melania Trump, as he attempted to pay their respects to the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg yesterday morning. Appearing on the porch of the Supreme Court, where Ginsburg lay in state, the President and the First Lady wore black masks, bowed their heads, with eyes closed as the crowd assembled at the barricades below, jeering at them, screaming, "Vote him out and honor her wish." From LifeSiteNews.com, in less than 6 weeks, Colorado residents voting on a ballot initiative that will decide whether to ban abortions at 22 weeks without the input of the state's Democratic governor or legislature. It's Proposition 115, spearheaded by the pro-life Due Date Too Late campaign, secured enough signatures to appear on the November ballot. It would ban all abortions past 22 weeks, with the only exception being to save a mother's life. Abortionists who violate the state, this law would be fined up to $5,000 and or lose their medical licenses for 3 years. They report that if enacted, this would stop an estimated 400 late-term abortions per year in Colorado. Wouldn't you like to see an initiative passed that would ban all abortion? From CNSNews.com, an organization called Advocates for Youth, which appears to act as the youth arm of Planned Parenthood, recently sent out a mass email with this in the subject line: "Know anyone ages 11 to 15 to study or to join this study?" The email was sent by FY's Free the Pill Youth Campaign manager, Becca Timmish. Links three times to the study. The study page suggests that young girls can obtain birth control pills without a prescription and potentially without their parents' consent. Both the email and site say that girls who participate in the study can earn $75. Again, folks, targeted to girls as young as age 11. Do you have an 11-year-old in your home? Would you want this kind of solicitation coming to them? LifeSiteNews.com. Let's go to Lubbock, Texas area. As Texas Right to Life, LifeSite News have partnered to launch a petition calling on the Lubbock City Council to declare their city a sanctuary city for the unborn. Since Planned Parenthood's Lubbock facilities closed in 2013 as a result of laws passed by the Texas legislature, it's estimated that at least 1,000 babies have been saved from abortion there. However, Planned Parenthood is slated to reopen by the end of this year, and wealthy pro-abortion leftists have pledged $9 million to help them do it. Lubbock Mayor Dan Pope has voiced opposition to declaring the city a sanctuary city for the unborn. This group is moving forward, though, in a petition drive to do so. Interesting story is welcoming from LifeNews.com. Nancy Pelosi claimed that Republicans are coming after your children. She said that in an interview with MSNBC. A clip from the interview posted Sean Hannity's website shows Pelosi making the bizarre claim supposedly about the next justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Clean air, clean water, pollution, they're coming after your children. Protect your children from what they're trying to do in this court. If she's all concerned about protecting children, why is she sanctioning the taking of life in the womb by abortion? Why does she support killing babies in the womb? In my opinion, it's people like her that are coming after your children. The Daily Signal reporting, Heritage Foundation Researchers have demonstrated throughout the coronavirus pandemic, the spread of COVID-19 in the U.S. has been heavily concentrated in a small number of states and among a small number of counties within those states. State-level figures do not adequately describe the concentrated nature of the spread of COVID-19. As of September 15th, the 30 counties with the most COVID-19 deaths accounted for 26% of all the cases in the United States and 40% of all deaths. Think of that, folks. 30 counties accounting for 40% of all deaths, much greater than those counties' share of the population, which is 18.4%. Just 1% of the counties in the U.S., representing just over 18% of the population, are responsible for almost half of the country's COVID-19 deaths. From CNSNews.com, for the second time this year, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden grossly exaggerating the number of coronavirus deaths while visiting Pennsylvania, claiming hundreds of millions instead of thousands have died. He made the latest gaffe during a campaign speech in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this past Sunday.
And perhaps, most cruelly of all, if Donald Trump has his way, the complications from COVID-19, which are well beyond what they should be. It's estimated that 200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk.
200 million. Well, the U.S. population is about 328 million, meaning nearly two-thirds of the population have died from COVID-19, if his claims were true. But friends, sadly, that number is gone over the $200,000 mark, but many still question that because of the comorbidity issues. People with in the final stages of cancer who also have COVID are listed among the dead. And many have asked how many of these individuals have died from COVID rather than dying with COVID. Over 200,000, though, is on the official death toll. And of course, we have had the anecdotal stories as well of those who have died in traffic accidents who are listed among those of COVID deaths. But I also want to keep in mind, keep this before our minds as well, as I just before this program went to Worldometers, and though there are over 200,000 deaths that are attributed to COVID in the United States, and even more than that, of course, around the world itself, don't know if I have the latest world statistics. Yeah, world statistics show 989,981 COVID deaths. So that's less than 1 million. Now, let's compare that. Abortions this year, 31,299,714 at the time I printed this off from Worldometers. Okay, so 31 times number of abortions than that dying of COVID. Why are we not having special counsels on this? Why are we not closing abortion centers across this land like we are closing churches? Now, the number of deaths caused by HIV/AIDS this year is over 1.2 million. Over 1.2 million. Deaths by cancer, over 6 million. Folks, I'm going to share with you some more statistics right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what caused the Ice Age?
Chris, as near as we can tell, the Ice Age came after the flood, kind of an after effect of the flood caused by the flood itself. The primary cause of the Ice Age was that snow accumulated in vast quantities and did not melt, as it piled up and turned into ice and began to flow as glaciers. The real need for enhanced snowfall is more evaporation from the ocean waters, and this would have happened if the ocean waters were warmer. We see from Scripture that the fountains of the great deep brought up superheated waters from deep inside the earth. I suspect that the flood waters were significantly warmer than today. This evaporation provided the raw material for the Ice Age. Even though the Ice Age isn't mentioned by name in Scripture, it is intimated. Even the Ice Age goes back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. News Roundup Day here today on the broadcast. And as the, according to Worldometers, the death toll worldwide from coronavirus, COVID-19, 989,981, when I printed this off here before the broadcast. But again, we compare that to the abortions taking place this year, over 31 million. Deaths caused by HIV/AIDS this year, 1.2 million plus. And then the deaths caused by smoking this year, four times that of COVID-19, 3.676 million. Deaths caused by alcohol this year, double that of COVID-19, 1.839 million. Why is it that it is COVID that we are just so reacting to, and not alcohol, not tobacco, not the abortion centers across this nation? Think about it. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Monday it erroneously posted guidance saying that coronavirus spreads through airborne particles that can remain suspended in the air and travel beyond 6 feet. The updated guidance posted on the CDC's website last Friday also recommended that people use air purifiers to reduce airborne germs indoors to prevent the disease from spreading, according to Reuters. The World Health Organization has not seen any new evidence on airborne particles. Dr. Mike Ryan, executive director of the WHO's Health Agency's Emergencies Program, said that during a news conference at the agency's Geneva headquarters. The international agency's position on this remains the same. This update comes after the CDC reversed controversial coronavirus testing guidance that said people who were exposed to an infected person but weren't showing any symptoms did not necessarily need a test. The information is constantly changing at the CDC. Let's go to Western Journal. House Resolution 908, introduced back in March by Democratic Representative Grace Meng of New York, was approved in the House of Representatives last week. The resolution comes down to this: don't name or speak COVID-19 in any way that indicates its place of origin, such as calling it the Chinese virus, Wuhan virus, and Kung flu, because such terms have perpetuated anti-Asian stigma. The resolution calls on public officials to condemn and denounce such rhetoric and do their part in stopping the supposed threats that Asian Americans face, since the White House has publicly identified the virus as originating from Wuhan, China. Amazing. The resolution passed 243 to 164. A woman tasered. What was she doing? She wasn't wearing a mask at an outdoor middle school football game. HotAir.com has a story. You can't arrest anyone for not wearing a mask, exclaimed one observer. A Marietta City Schools parent had been detained and arrested following noncompliance with state mask mandates during an eighth grade football game at Logan, according to MCS Athletic Director Cody Venderlich. MCS board member Doug Mallett stated, "I didn't see where she was putting anybody at risk, but resisting arrest leads to an escalating force, including tasering, when that resistance becomes physical to the point of obstruction. There wasn't anyone outside her family bubble within 6 feet of her breath. In fact, it doesn't look like there was anybody within 20 feet of her until the police officer approached. Besides that, this game was played outdoors where transmission risk is minimal," but ended up being tasered. She was approached for not wearing a mask at this outdoor middle school football game. Let's go to Idaho. From ChristianNews.net, a religious gathering at the city hall in Moscow, Idaho, resulted in several arrests after some of those gathered were taken into custody for not complying with police directives. According to the Moscow Pullman Daily News, Ben Zornes, a pastor of Christ Church who helped to organize the event, stated that they wanted to make a statement that we're ready to head back to normal. The report also noted that Zornes referred to the mask mandate as largely groundless and that there needs to be pushback against such laws. The Moscow police chief, James Fry, stated that none of the five cited were wearing masks or social distancing. And they were arrested singing hymns, maskless, and they were seeking to push back against that. LifeSiteNews.com. A Christian church in Washington, D.C., suing Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser for her ongoing ban on religious gatherings of more than 100 people. The lawsuit claims a violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, as well as the First and Fifth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. for Capitol Hill Baptist Church, the nation in the capital there. A weekly in-person worship gathering of the entire congregation is a religious conviction for which there is no substitute, the complaint states. The church does not offer virtual worship services, it does not utilize a multi-site model, and does not offer multiple Sunday morning worship services. About a half a year after the coronavirus lockdowns first caused in-person religious services to cease, that ban on their church's corporate worship gatherings remains in effect yet in the District of Columbia. The lawsuit also called out the mayor for being hypocritical when it comes to large gatherings. For example, June 6th, the mayor appeared personally at an outdoor gathering of tens of thousands of people at the corner of 6th and 8th Streets Northwest, delivered a speech describing the large gathering as wonderful to see. When Mayor Bowser was asked why she celebrates mass protests while houses of worship remain closed, she responded that First Amendment protests and large gatherings are not the same, because in the United States of America, people can protest. Folks, did you hear what she had to say? That the First Amendment protects these protests from going on, but not religious gatherings, these large gatherings? Hasn't she heard about the Congress shall not, we should not have anything? Let me go right to that First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof and abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Wanted to quote that correctly. But she says she celebrates mass protests while houses of worship are remaining closed. Isn't this interesting? Because that First Amendment gives us the right of worship, gives us that free exercise of religion. The lawsuit simply commented that in the United States of America, people can gather for worship under the First Amendment as well. By the way, friends, I just want to repeat, we've got copies of this document that we hold preciously as a nation called the Constitution. And also in this little booklet is the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and George Washington's farewell address and every amendment that has been passed by the states since the Constitution was drafted. We have this in a handy booklet form. We do make this available just to help us cover its expense and shipping to you. It's available for donation of just $5. To obtain it, you can go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or contact our switchboard. We've had many people getting multiple copies to hand out to others. Fits right in your purse or shirt pocket, a donation of $5. It's called Documents of Freedom. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, all the amendments passed, George Washington's farewell address, or you may call our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Yeah, large gatherings, fine. Just can't come together for worship. Attorneys for California Pastor John MacArthur announced yesterday, that their client and church have won the right to a court trial in the ongoing legal fight with local and state public officials, reports OneNewsNow.com. The announcement by Thomas More Society means a trial judge will hear the Los Angeles County defend its contempt citation against Grace Community Church and also hear attorneys for the church fight the constitutionality of such orders. MacArthur is fighting local officials in a county where numerous businesses are allowed to operate, but the church and other churches are ordered to remain closed unless they conduct outdoor services. This hearing is set for November the 13th. Coming to us from the Daily Wire, a report from Senate investigators released Wednesday made jaw-dropping claims about Hunter Biden, son of Joseph Biden. The report from the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and Finance details a number of allegations against Hunter, including a wire of $3.5 million from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, business associations with a member of the Chinese Communist government and People's Liberation Army, as well as sending payments to women who appeared to be linked to prostitution or human trafficking, the Daily Wire's Ryan Saraverda reported. In a letter sent to the FBI Director Christopher Wray on Thursday, Representative Jim Jordan, ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, asked whether the FBI has been or will be investigating the allegations against Hunter Biden and the other members of his family. The FBI has been aware of such alleged misconduct for years, and he posed a number of questions to Ray. Cindy McCain has endorsed Joe Biden for president in a rebuke of President Donald Trump by the widow of the Republican Party's 2008 nominee. Cindy McCain cited the decades-long friendship between her family and Biden's and their bond as the parents of children serving in the military, reports Western Journal. The Gateway Pundit reporting FBI agent who uncovered the Wiener laptop with Hillary's emails says the FBI leadership told him to erase all of its findings. Yeah, this is John Robertson, FBI agent assigned to the Anthony Wiener case, a top Democrat married to Hillary Clinton advisor Huma Abedin. During his investigation of Wiener's computer, John discovered thousands of Hillary Clinton emails and blew the whistle on the Comey, McCabe, and Stroik cover-up of evidence. Robertson wrote a letter to self in late October after an October 2016 meeting during which he implored the Assistant U.S. Attorney Amanda Kramer in Southern District of New York to push FBI leadership to look at the thousands of emails he had unearthed. He said he was told by Kramer that when I whistleblower, I would be prosecuted. Robertson continued, the FBI possesses 20 times more emails than Comey testified to. Voter fraud issues, a great concern. This is from WND.com. A new independent nationwide analysis of voter rolls in 42 states found more than 349,000 dead people still on the rolls and tens of thousands more voters with duplicate registrations. The findings come from the Public Interest Legal Foundation that has launched the Safeguarding America's Vote and Elections database as a tool to track voter roll problems. Some records show some 1,500 voters who were born in the 1800s. Breitbart also reporting a large batch of mail, including several mailed-in ballots, discovered in a ditch along a Wisconsin road on Tuesday. Fox 11 reported the Outagamie County Sheriff's Office said three trays were found in a ditch early in the morning. The mail was found near the intersection of Highway 96 and CB near the Appleton International Airport and was turned over to the Postal Service. The United States Postal Inspection Service immediately began investigating and say we reserve further comment on this matter until that's complete, said spokesman Bob Sheehan, telling the news station. Trays of ballots found in a ditch. FoxNews.com reporting the Justice Department sent a letter to Pennsylvania County on Thursday ordering it to change its practices after multiple military ballots were found discarded. The issue surfaced earlier in the day when the DOJ announced that it had recovered a small number of discarded ballots. While the Justice Department would not say where they had found the ballots, they did say there were nine recovered, seven of them were cast for President Trump, while the other two were sealed by the county before the FBI recovered them. In the letter to the Luzerne County officials, the U.S. Attorney David Freed indicated that additional ballot materials were found in a dumpster. Freed said their investigation yielded troubling findings, including that the county allegedly improperly opened ballots. Folks, do you trust this mail-in system that's going on? The best thing, if you have to vote absentee, is to hand deliver it to your county clerk's office. There's shenanigans that are going on in the mail. We'll have some more after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
very troubling to see trays of ballots in a ditch, military votes discarded, and the issues continue on. Matter of fact, in Pennsylvania, Breitbart's reporting that the House Majority Leader, Kerry Benninghoff, revealed they will sue to block the Pennsylvania Supreme Court rulings going on there, issued three rulings on Thursday extending the deadline for mail-in ballots to the Friday after Election Day. Well, they're doing the same thing here in Wisconsin. That's being challenged as well. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton yesterday announced the arrest of a Democratic County commissioner and three associates in Gregg County in East Texas on charges of election fraud in the 2018 election. An article from the Dallas News. Paxton said Gregg County Commissioner Shannon Brown, Marlena Jackson, Charlie Burns, and Dwayne Ward orchestrated a vote harvesting scheme to help Brown win the Democratic primary 2 years ago. Paxton said the case proved mail ballots could be easily manipulated. Close to home just came out earlier today. This one from Fox 6 News out of Milwaukee. Absentee ballot mix-up in the village of Waukesha. Drawing a lot of questions from the two men in a heated state assembly race, officials are offering advice about checking your ballot for accuracy. Evidently, somebody who requested the absentee ballot received the wrong ballot that can impact a race. They said it's only one, but check your ballots. And an interesting story from newsbusters.org. For weeks, CNN's New Day has been claiming that President Trump has been harming the election process by making claims of voter fraud and abuse. Now, friends, I have just recited, and we've had numerous sites of voter fraud and abuse taking place. And now they're saying President Trump is harming the election process by making claims of voter fraud and abuse, speculating with no evidence that the only way Trump can win election is using the military or the Justice Department to steal the election. Allison Camerota declared the president is open to violence. The president sounds like he wants violence until his conditions are met. Political correspondent Abby Phillip gave a scenario where the president uses his authority to remove the mail-in ballots, refuses to concede, and then has his new Supreme Court justice to help him win the case and get reelected. It was treated as the only way that the president could win re-election. Hours after the segment, the White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany further discounted their tirade, saying this, quote, "The president will accept the results of a fair and free election," also reiterating the president's statements about voter fraud in the election, noting that already valid ballots for Trump have been thrown out. Let's go to California. WND.com, California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has signed an executive order requiring 100% of in-state sales of new passenger cars and trucks be zero emission by 2035. No gasoline-powered vehicles, new vehicles, will be sold after that date, 2035. Let's see here. Interesting story from Pamela Geller. And she has it from the Jerusalem Post. Honduran President Juan Hernandez said in a telephone conversation with the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, that Honduras will move its embassy to Jerusalem, saying we hope to make this historic step before the end of the year, as long as the pandemic allows it. Also, folks, amazing. This is truly amazing from WND.com. After President Trump put his signature on historic agreements normalizing relations between Israel and two Gulf nations, he said another five or six nations could follow suit. One of those could possibly be Iraq. If the opinion of one political leader there is a guide, the Baghdad Post reported an Iraqi Sunni politician and leader of the UMNA party, this is Mithal al-Alusi, is calling for normalization of relations between Iraq and Israel. Very interesting indeed. The Trump administration... This is from OANN.com. The Trump administration coming down on Iran following the country's latest threat to peace in the Middle East. Saturday, Secretary Mike Pompeo announced the U.S. will reimpose all U.N. sanctions on the nation. According to officials, the nation has not lived up to its end of the Iran nuclear deal. They cannot have nuclear weapons, said President Trump. That deal was so bad, they got $150 billion for nothing. The move has faced pushback from other countries, though. 13 of the 15 U.N. Security Council members have voiced opposition to President Trump's move. Also, take note, folks. Take note, CNSNews.com, Russia, China this week kicked off a large-scale military exercise in southern Russia, along with troops from several other countries, including Iran, at a time when all three countries' relations with the U.S. are chilly. These drills are running from September 21st to September 26th in Russia's southern military district near the Black and Caspian Seas. The exercise involving 80,000 military personnel, 450 mechanized infantry fighting vehicles, 250 tanks, 200 artillery and multiple launch rocket systems, and an undisclosed number of warships. Russia, China gathered in this. Iran as well. There's going to be a battle someday, folks. It's going to take place in Armageddon. Let me also, here's one other story here from regarding the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He encouraged Christians to keep faith in the public square. Don't ever give up shining the light, he said. Don't ever walk away from an opportunity to put faith in the public square. Do walk with the Lord and keep at it. Stay true. Keep believing. All of us together will make this nation a light unto the world. He stated this as he appeared at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Texas. Pompeo said that the world is watching America's leadership and the country's foundation as a Judeo-Christian nation. He reiterated that faith in the public square is not only lawful, but religious. It's not only powerful, but required by America's tradition. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. If you would like to comment on these or other current event stories, 800-733-9829. A school district, this is from ChristianNews.net, a school district in Tennessee has deleted a post encouraging residents to park at the schools, administration buildings, and bus lots and pray for officials and students alike after they received a letter from the Wisconsin-based Freedom from Religion Foundation. We're talking about the Alamo City School District. Driving past the school, it said, pull in, park, and pray for our children, teachers, and staff. Driving past an administration building, pull in, park, and pray for our leaders. Driving past a bus lot, pull in, park, and pray for the bus drivers, the graphic shared on July 26 read in part. The Freedom from Religion Foundation asserted that the post violated the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution by endorsing religion. It is well settled that public schools may not advance, prefer, or promote religion, the letter stated. Well, the school district has backed down, we understand. They deleted the post. And friends, as soon as some tragic event happens in the school district, after we have kicked God out, and then we ask the question, God, where were you? Our number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll take your comments on the issues of our time. It's a news roundup day, and if you want to comment on one of these stories or other current event stories, our number, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Waukegan, Illinois. Douglas, you're on the air.
Yeah, and I was just thinking as you were talking about all these ballots and how they're being all delivered wrong and put in ditches and stuff like that. You know, we've got cameras in police cars. We got cameras on policemen. We got cameras in school buses. Can't we put cameras in these delivery trucks or maybe even GPS on the trucks so that we can track where these people are going? So I was just thinking that maybe this would be one way to, you know, to raise some concern or some raise some attention to the fact that these people, if they're in these trucks and they know they're being watched and being governed, maybe they'll prevent them from acting out and doing these things that are illegal. That's basically my comment. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Douglas, for your thoughts today. Our number, 800-733-9829. By the way, the attacks against Christianity, the Bible, continue. A story that came out from the activist Mommy Elizabeth Johnston. Reports of a church in Iceland has made waves for a recent ad for a Sunday school program in which it depicts Jesus as a bearded woman. According to the Daily Mail, the church apologized for the hurt caused by the ad, but defended the positive effects of depicting Jesus in different ways. Peter George Markan, the church's media representative, said, "We're trying to embrace society as it is. We have all sorts of people, and we need to train ourselves to talk about Jesus." He said soon we'll be introducing more personifications where, for example, you'll see Jesus making a contribution to environmental issues. Also from Christian Headlines, we have this story. The biblical story of Jesus saving the woman caught in adultery has been twisted and given a new ending in a Chinese textbook, with Jesus killing the woman and telling her that he too is a sinner, according to a new report. The textbook, published by the government-run University of Electronic Science and Technology Press, is used to teach professional ethics and law in vocational schools. The Chinese textbook changes the ending, according to UCA News. The textbook says, When the crowd disappeared, Jesus stoned the sinner to death, saying, "I too am a sinner, but if the law could only be executed by men without blemish, the law would be dead." Well, a person uploaded a copy of the textbook story to social media, saying, "I want everyone to know that the Chinese Communist Party has already tried to distort the history of the church, to slander our church, and to make people hate our church," the person wrote. We're going next to James, calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. James, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was listening to the broadcast, and it seems like President Trump is against mail-in ballots everywhere except for his home state in Florida. Can anyone answer why that's so?
Say that again?
It sounds as if our president is against mail-in ballots everywhere except in his home state. Of Florida. Can anyone answer as to why?
James, do you understand the difference between mail-in ballots and absentee balloting? Do you understand that difference?
Yes. Absentee ballots are mailed in primarily by the military or people that can't get there for whatever reason.
Right. And many states' laws have opened up absentee ballots for anybody. If you're concerned about coronavirus, for instance, you can request an absentee ballot. The president's not opposed to that, James. He's not opposed to that at all. But what he has expressed opposition to is to mail-in ballots, whereby the state mails to every registered voter that they have on their list, despite whether or not they're dead or they moved or anything else, but they put these ballots out in the mail to every registered voter to have them returned. And that's where the problem lies. You've got them going to wrong addresses. You've got them going to people who are no longer alive. What happens to those ballots? And that's a concern the president's expressing.
So does he want to just not have the election go forward?
No, James, you're not understanding.
Until the pandemic is over?
No. He's not opposed to absentee ballots at all. He's not opposed for whatever state, whereby the voter request of the state's, the clerk's office or the election commission, saying, "I'm a registered voter. You ask for your ballot. It comes to your house. You have to fill out. Many places you have to have it certified or a witness sign your signature, or you send in your picture ID along with it." He's not opposed to that process at all. That's happening all over, but opposed to the mail-in, where arbitrarily that ballot is just mailed out to every person they have on their list, despite the fact that they have not cleaned up their voter rolls. And that's the concern that's there, James. And he's not opposed to absentee balloting at all. Well, guess we're up against a break. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This past weekend, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who sat on the U.S. Supreme Court since the 90s, being appointed by President Bill Clinton, passed away. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, so we should not be celebrating her death. However, Fox News once again reveals that they are not a conservative network. One commentator after another, including Republicans, praised her for her service and her commitment to America. Yet, as we warned about her and her worldview when she was appointed by President Bill Clinton, she was a radical liberal, who actually worked with a communist front group. Roger Baldwin, a known communist, formed the ACLU. And in 1977, as an attorney for the ACLU, she argued for lowering the sex age limit to age 12. This is one of many things I could say about her.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Fox News reporting the Justice Department yesterday announced charges against more than 300 people who allegedly committed crimes since the end of May under the guise of peaceful protests. Seattle also moving forward with a plan to gut their police department. By the way, also WND.com reporting that support for Black Lives Matter sees a massive plunge, polls are reporting. And just coming forth just hours ago, President Trump's plan for Black America designates the KKK and Antifa as terrorist organizations and calls for making lynching a national hate crime. That came out from Fox News just a short time ago. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Paul in Rochester, Minnesota. You're on the air, Paul.
Yes, I was wondering about with the gas mandate in California, how are they going to get the energy, the power, electricity needed for towing such vehicles?
I'm sure that that's something they're going to be putting in these electric stations all over the place. The article didn't go into that, but that no part is going to be part of the infrastructure for that. Thank you. Linda in Sardinia, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, that church that folded because of the Freedom From Religion Foundation went after them, that's been the whole problem in the United States for years and years, is the church sitting back silent.
Yeah, that wasn't a church. It was a school district.
Oh, so, well, the church is really responsible. Like I said before, in 1929, the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth, and evolution got a toehold in the schools, and then they took all this other, they took Ten Commandments out, prayer out, God out, and the church, the reason this United States is in such a bad shape is the church should have been taking a stand for the Word of God.
Thank you, Linda. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Let's go to Phoenix. And Manuel, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to respond to the other guy that was calling about the mail-in ballots. You know, the idea of Trump, he's not against, like you were saying, but if BLM is allowed to mass, you know, in numbers and be together, then we should also be able to go to physical voting stations. No?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're right.
Oh, that's my comment.
Yeah, I mean, if it's safe to go to your store to buy your groceries, isn't it safe to go in and cast your vote?
Yep.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Elaine in Somerset, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm talking about the mail-in ballots. My daughter received three, and she ditched all of hers because she's going in person, and I didn't receive any mail-in ballots or anything, but I didn't request one. Because I always go in person, too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I didn't know if that was something, you know, where people are just getting tons of ballots, but they never ask for them, and they get thrown away. And
now, is she receiving ballots or request for ballots?
No, she's receiving where you have to sign your name and send it back and all that.
Right, yeah. So that's, I've got many at my house, too, from different organizations to sign in, you know, sign your name here, and you send it into your clerk's office, and then they mail you back the ballot.
Okay, well, she ain't doing none of that. She just turned it in the trash, and I said I never received one, so.
Yeah. Thank you,
hey,
Elaine.
Thanks.
Appreciate your call here today. Let's go next to Pensacola, and Marie, you're on the air.
Yes, lately I've been getting phone calls. I have had several phone calls with recordings. One was from Donald Trump's son, the other was from his, I think, from his daughter. And then I've been getting emails, too, asking me to request a mail-in ballot. I don't understand.
Well, again, that's requesting an absentee ballot. That's totally different than just the state mailing out to everybody a mailed-in ballot. So this is where the voter is initiating the action to contact their clerk's office or state election commission to have a ballot sent to them. They fill it out and then get it returned. A lot of communities have drop-off sites. Can take it right to your clerk's office and drop it off. Many are saying that's the safest way because there's no middleman in between that. So, yeah, the request is for an absentee ballot, but that is different than the general mail-in balloting process.
Yeah. I know that, but that's not what they said. They said request a mail-in ballot.
Well, yes, that you're requesting a mail-in ballot, but that's an absentee ballot. It's a mail-in ballot in the other term is when the state just sends it to everybody all at one time.
Oh, well, I didn't know because I didn't ask. I mean, I planned to go vote, so
yeah,
I don't know why they were doing it. send me that and ask me that. I didn't understand.
Marie, indeed, make your plan, and you've got a plan, and then you carry out that plan. Okay? Thank you. Let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hey, if the protesters are allowed to meet, should the Protestants be allowed to meet?
Yeah, Protestants, yeah. Yep, indeed. And that's what some...
Oh, that's their name.
Yep, that's what some pastors have said. This is our protest against what's going on here. Indeed. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Folks, again, these are certainly troublesome times in which we live, and to be astute as to what's going on and not to be deceived. There is much deception that is going on across this nation and around the world today, and certainly we need to be astute to the matters that are taking place. Hey, did you hear about the once-in-a-lifetime discovery? Archaeologists uncovered pieces of the palace connected to King David. Reports WND.com. Archaeologists have discovered three 27-year-old relics of the ancient kingdom of Judah during ongoing excavations in Jerusalem. The three decorated column heads bear the same style as others of the kingdom, a symbol of the Davidic dynasty. Experts believe the column heads date from the time of King Hezekiah, a descendant of King David. This discovery, really once-in-a-lifetime discovery, said the City of David Foundation Vice President Doran Spielman, told the Jerusalem Post. The stones known to archaeologists as capitals appear to have been carefully hidden among the wreckage of the site, according to the BBC. Interesting, those things that are being discovered, isn't it? We want to thank you for tuning in here to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. And friends, we do encourage your continued prayer for the nation. This is certainly, as you know, troublesome times in which we live. Be praying for the leadership of this nation. Be praying for your senator and your congressman, regardless of whether there's a D or an R behind their name. Be praying for the presidential debates that are coming up this coming Tuesday. Topics have already been released for that debate, and it's no doubt going to be quite a thing to witness going on there. But be praying for that God would have his way here in this nation. Certainly we deserve his judgment, and I know many who are praying for his mercy. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.